Awesome. Yeah, super, super pumped to be here. I feel like the last month or so, or month and a bit, since I've been kind of talking to Pastor Jim and to the board here, every time I connect, they're like, yeah, this exciting thing just happened, and this exciting thing just happened. We had this potluck, and we had this event, and it sounds like things are bumping around here, so I'm super excited to be a part of it. I figured to start, I would just introduce myself a little bit. So, my name is Caleb Block. I grew up in Chilliwack, and so it's kind of like a farm town, but I'm not really from the farm part of it. Like, I was here a couple weeks ago, I was talking to the youth, and I was trying to describe, like, what it's like to be kind of like a city kid in a farm town. Like, I'm far enough removed from the city that I've never had bubble tea, but I'm not such a farm boy that I know how to milk a cow. Like, I'm somewhere in between. I'm not really sure how I fit in. I'm in there somewhere. I grew up there with my parents and my two older brothers. I'm younger than them by 5 and 7 years, so I'm a little bit younger, and because of that, when I was growing up, they always kind of picked on me. I don't know why I said they always did. They still do. They always pick on me all the time. Doesn't matter what I say. Always laugh at me. Always make fun of me. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Megan is here. Megan is my fiance. We got engaged on October 6th. We'll be getting married next summer. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So come next fall, she'll be joining me out here, and we'll be here for who knows how long. So you're kind of stuck with us now. I also am finishing up. I just finished a semester at Summit Pacific College in Abbotsford. I have one semester left. I'll be graduating in April. And so super excited about that. This coming year is kind of crazy with starting here and then graduating in April and then getting married and moving out and all that stuff. It's kind of a wild year for me. And I don't really know how to deal with it all because I'm only 20 years old and I feel like a kid. So, like, I don't know how to, like, I don't know how to be an adult. So if any of you could help me with that, that would be great, actually, because I don't know. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate that. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so that's just a little bit about me. What are some other things I could tell you? I'm a big sports fan. I'm a fan of the Canucks, the Seahawks, and the Blue Jays. Awesome. The one thing about being at school is I don't get to keep up as much, but I'm hoping that when I'm done school, I'll be able to keep up again with stuff like that. And I love Christmas. I love Christmas. It's by far my favorite holiday. I love walking into churches and seeing, like, the Christmas trees and the nativity scene and stuff. It's, like, the best, that feeling of just, like, oh, it's Christmas time, you know? Like, it's so exciting. I love it for so many reasons, not the least of which is the Christmas break, which I'm on right now. Just finished my exams last week, which I'm super excited about. Between paper season and exam season, November and December are crazy, so now I kind of just get to relax a little bit. I also really like the food. You know, like the turkey, the special Christmas bacon. You don't even have to taste it. You can just walk into the house, and if you smell it, you're like, it's Christmas time. Yes, it's the best. I love it. And I also am a big fan of Christmas movies, those ones that you tuck away in the back cupboard, but then every Christmas time you pull them out. My brothers and I do this thing where we'll watch these movies, like, almost obsessively, and we learn pretty much every line in the movies. So we learn these lines, and every once in a while in conversation we'll just bust one out. Like, and when Megan started hanging out with our family, she had no idea what was happening because, like, I would pick up a cookie and my brother would be like, put that cookie down! And Megan was like, what are you talking about? Like, what's happening? But it's just because we love to watch the movies, we love to learn them so that we can quote them, I guess. I don't know why we do it. But the thing that I love most about Christmas is the family. I have been really lucky to have a family that I get along with really well. My brothers and I, even though they pick on me, I love them. They're the best. My parents are awesome. My extended family, I get along with my cousins really great. And there's something about coming together every Christmas for a Christmas meal and for an evening just to hang out, just to relax and to enjoy each other's company that I love. And Christmas is undoubtedly a family holiday because right from the beginning, right from the first Christmas, Christmas was about family, and the Christmas story focuses on a family. So I figured, since Christmas is about family, why don't we take a look at that family? So if you have your Bible or you have it on your phone or something, why don't you go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 27? I don't have anything up on the screen because I've noticed with youth anyway that if you put something on the screen, Nobody brings their Bible. So I don't put things on the screen so that you have to use your own. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 27 says this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So this year, more than ever, I can relate to this situation more than I ever have because I just recently got engaged. And so this couple, Mary and Joseph, are just living their life. They're engaged. They probably have plans of what it's going to be like when they're married, when they want to like start a family, what they want to do, how they want to do it. And I can totally relate because that's what Megan and I are going through right now. But no matter what their plans were, no matter what they were thinking was going to happen, neither of them could ever have prepared for what was going to happen next. So if we read verses 28 to 33, it says, "And he came to her, the angel, and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.'" Can just like for a minute, put yourself in the shoes of, can you imagine like being Mary, you're getting, like she's young, getting married, have all these plans, and suddenly this angel shows up to you and is like, "Hey, surprise, you're pregnant. And your son is going to be the king of everybody forever. His kingdom will have no end." And like the things that would go through your mind in that situation of like, am I hallucinating? Am I losing my mind here? Like, did I eat something? I don't know what's happening. Like, I can't imagine how she would process this information that's coming in. And she only asks one question in the next verse. I'm a little surprised by what question it is because I would have so many more. It says in verse 34, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be since I am a virgin?'" Now, okay, fair question. If, like, you know, being a virgin, she probably, like, she can't be pregnant. That's just not how that works. If you didn't know, that's not how that works. But I would have so many more questions than that. I would be like, hold on, wait, what are you saying? I'm going to have a son that's going to be a king? He's going to reign for, how is this all? I wouldn't be able to get words out of my mouth. I do this thing where my brain goes faster than my mouth can go. And so I kind of just like, and I would just like stutter and just like go nuts. And the angel would have no idea what I'm trying to say because I would have no idea how to respond to this. That's her only question. And so the angel responds, verses 35 to 37, and says, "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.'" This is completely insane. Out of the blue, no warning, no buildup, no slowly working her way there. Just suddenly, boom, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you'll be pregnant, and you'll give birth to the King of the world. Her whole life completely changes, and she kind of has no choice. It's not like the angel comes to her and is like, "Hey, we're thinking about doing this thing. Do you want to be a part of it?" Which would kind of have been nice, don't you think? Like, "Hey, are you interested?" Like, no, just like, "Hey, you're going to give birth. That's all you need to know. See you later. Bye." Like, no other warning, nothing else. Her whole life completely changes. And Mary responds in the most incredible way, in a way that I don't think personally I could. In verse 38, we read, "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." So the angel shows up, drops this big news on her, and Mary just goes, "How is this possible?" The angel explains, "It's because the Holy Spirit can do anything." And she's like, "Yeah, okay, I'm in. Sounds good. Why wouldn't I be a part of that? I couldn't do that. I can't." Okay. If Megan was to come to me now, be like, we're having a baby, I'd be like, first of all, there's a lot wrong here, okay? Because it's not mine, first of all. But also, like, I'm not prepared to have a kid right now. Like, but I don't know, like I told you, I don't know how to be an adult. I don't know how to raise a person. What's nice, I have two nieces. The best part about having nieces is as soon as they need something, I can just give them back to my brother. Be like, here you go. And then he does whatever they need, and then I get them back for the fun part. I don't know how to do the actual parenting. I can't imagine, like, to just be like, yeah, okay, sure, let's have this baby. It's wild to me. And this situation is just us. To learn that you're going to give birth to the Son of God and then to just say yes is crazy. It's crazy. But Mary's not the only person in this story. So why don't we look at Joseph's side of the story? So if you can go to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So at this time, when this was happening to Mary and Joseph, when you were engaged, you were already considered to be married, but you didn't live together. You weren't intimate. You just were, like, legally married, but not officially married, if that makes sense. So that's why it says that it describes Joseph as her husband when they were just engaged. That's why it says he needs to divorce her, because at the time, they were considered married. And he tries to divorce her quietly, which from his, like, what he knows about the situation, as far as he knows, Mary has cheated on him and has somebody else's baby. And so to divorce her quietly so as not to shame her is actually a sign of his character, of not wanting to put her to shame, of not wanting to put her down, but just to be like, okay, this is the situation, and it sucks, but I'm going to let you live your life. I'm not going to ruin it for you, and I'm going to step back and try and figure this out. And it doesn't really say much about how he's feeling about it, but I can only imagine what that would feel like. Like, again, if Megan was to tell me that she was pregnant with somebody else's baby, I would be completely devastated by that. It would hurt. It would be hard. I would feel betrayed. I would feel alone. And I'm sure that Joseph was feeling all these things. As far as he knew, the woman that he loved, that he was engaged to be married to, had cheated on him and now had somebody else's baby, and he had to divorce her. And that would be hard. That would be really hard. And again, in that situation, what do I do? Where do I go now? How do I deal with this situation? I don't know. I don't know what to do. But if we keep reading verses 20 to 23, it says, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Congrats, Joseph. Mary didn't cheat on you, so that's good. Congrats. Really happy for you. Also, though, the child that she's carrying is going to be the one that saves all of mankind. He will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Yeah, that's right. Mary's pregnant with the Son of God. How do you feel about that? Probably pretty overwhelmed to now know that, okay, so she didn't cheat on me, but this is God's son? And he's going to be the Savior of the world, the Messiah that we've waited hundreds of years for? This whole situation would be so messy, so dramatic, so completely overwhelming. And then, again, the angel just leaves. Comes to him in a dream, and then just leaves. Mary at least got to ask a question. Joseph didn't get to say anything. The angel just shows up and is like, this is happening. Cool. See you later. And he's just stuck to be like, okay, I guess, if that's oh, sure, yeah. And again, doesn't get much of a choice. It's not like, hey, if you want to, stick around and be a part of this. It's like, this is happening, get married to Mary, buckle up. And again, the craziest part of this story is the way that he responds in verses 24 to 25 when he says, "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." When Joseph woke from sleep, not a week later, not a couple days after thinking about it, not an hour later, he woke up and he decided, okay, I'm going to be a part of this. Immediately he agreed, and this messy, dramatic, unexpected situation fell into his lap, and he trusts God and just says, okay, and is obedient and decides that he's going to follow through with his marriage and raise this son. Mary and Joseph's obedience in this crazy, unexpected situation is unbelievable. They had no way to prepare. They had no expectation. They had no idea what was going to happen next. All they knew is that God had a plan, and they were allowed to be included in it, so they agreed. They trusted that God's plan would be greater than their own. And because they did, they got to be the parents of the Savior of the world, the Messiah, Emmanuel, Jesus, because they chose to be obedient, because they chose to say okay to the unexpected. They modeled that when we trust God in the unexpected, we get to play a part in some of the greatest moments in history, because God's plan is better than our plan. The craziest thing, I guess I've said that a few times, there's a lot of crazy things about this story. One of the craziest things is that Mary and Joseph were like basically nobody. Joseph was a carpenter in Nazareth, and Mary was just the girl that he was engaged to. And they were just doing their thing. They were nobody special. They weren't high up politically. They didn't have much control over their situation or over their community. And Jesus, by contrast, comes from this long line of famous people that we read about in the Bible to be the king of the world, coming from these nobody parents. Verses 1 to 17 in Matthew chapter 1 explain Jesus' genealogy, and there's a lot of big names in there. There's Ruth and Boaz, Jesse, Abraham, King David. These names that we read throughout the Old Testament that are all building up to this one moment, to this one person, this one story. And Jesus would be the Savior of the world, and Mary and Joseph were just Mary and Joseph. They were nobody special. They were just them. And yet, because of their obedience and their willingness to follow in the unexpectedness of God's plan, they got to experience the gift of Jesus that was, it says in that genealogy, 42 generations in the making. Hundreds, if not thousands, of years from Abraham to Jesus. And this king, Jesus, was promised to Abraham. And that promise had been held through 42 generations and now was being fulfilled through just Mary and Joseph. All because they were obedient. Because of their obedience, Mary and Joseph got to experience the beauty of the unexpected. So what do? The unexpected comes to us all the time. God's plan changes our plan all the time. I promised myself that I would never go to Bible college, and I'm about to finish my fourth year. Yeah, I promised myself that I would never be a youth pastor, and here I am. It wasn't my plan. It was God's plan, and I kind of just got taken along for the ride. When the unexpected comes our way, what are we going to do with it? I this fall, had put together a resume, and I had met with Andy Gabrick, who is the director of Youth and Next Gen Ministries for all of the BC and Yukon district of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And I'd been talking to him and just trying to figure out, like, hey, I'm starting to think about maybe applying for some jobs and seeing where there are openings in churches, and can you help me out with that? He was like, sure, send me your resume. So I sent him my resume, didn't really think much about it, looked on the PAOC website for any job postings, and I saw Richmond Pentecostal Church, youth pastor. And I kind of scrolled over it, and I was about to click on it, and I went, Nah. Ah, somewhere else. I don't know if that's for me. Didn't think anything of it. Weeks go by, a couple months go by, and one day, Megan and I are driving. We're going to go meet with our photographers for our wedding. And I get a phone call, so I give the phone to Megan, and she answers it for me because I'm driving, puts it on speakerphone. And so I'm like, hello? And on the other side of the phone, a voice says, hey, is this Caleb? I said, yeah, this is. Who's this? And he says, hi, my name's Jim Caruso. I'm the lead pastor of Richmond Pentecostal Church. I was like, oh, okay. Hi, Jim, what can I do for you? He was like, hey, listen, so we have your resume. How would you feel about being our youth pastor? And I was so not expecting that sentence to come out of his mouth that what I meant to say was, oh, tell me more. What came out of my mouth was, and Megan is looking at me like, say something. And I'm like, I don't know what to say, Jim. I don't know what I'm doing. Can you help me out here, please? Like, give me some more detail. And he was like, yeah, I guess I kind of dropped that one on you, didn't I? So later that week, he came to the school, and we met, and we chatted for a little bit, and he told me about the church, and he told me about what was happening here, and about the youth group, and I started to get really excited about it. And then the following Tuesday, I came here, and I had an interview with him and some of the board members, and then they kind of left it in my court, and I took a few weeks to think about it and to pray about it, and I wasn't really sure. And Jim and Elaine took us out, me and Megan, out for breakfast one morning. And we're talking to them, and so I was like, just tell me where the church is going. Tell me where you want it to be and some of your vision. And he starts describing some of his dreams, and he starts explaining to me some of his passion and some of his vision for the church. And as he's talking, I start to realize, that's what I want. As he's talking, I start to realize, that's my dream. And as he's describing some of the specifics of what he wants to do and where he wants to go, Megan looks at me and goes, that's your dream. That's the same thing that you want. That's what you've been dreaming about for years now. And we left that breakfast and we got in the car and we looked at each other and we just said, we have to go. Because clearly this is where God is calling us to be. And clearly this is where he wants us to be. And so completely out of the unexpected came this incredible opportunity to be here now with you guys, and I'm so pumped. I'm so pumped to be able to be your youth pastor, and we were at a youth night a few weeks ago and had a great time and loved connecting, loved hanging out with the students, and loved being a part of it, and I can't wait to start in January. But it wasn't my plan. It was completely unexpected. But because I chose to go with the unexpected, now I get to be here with you. So maybe you're thinking, that's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Maybe you're here and you see the 20-year-old kid youth pastor and he's telling you about how God has directed his life and you're like, that's great. I'm happy for you. That's awesome. But I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if God is out there. I don't have that faith. I don't have that belief. And if I don't, I don't know if that's going to happen to me. I don't know if that's possible. Two of the people in my life that I respect and love the most are my grandparents. Their names are Carl and Barb, and they live in Chilliwack. And throughout my time growing up and hanging out with them, and I've come to really see that they love God like almost nobody else that I know. And so I had always just kind of figured that they always had, that they grew up that way. But that's not the case. In fact, when they got married, they weren't believers at all. They weren't Christians at all. And they really didn't have any desire to be. They didn't have any inclination that way. And so they're just kind of, they're living their lives in Surrey, and they're doing their thing, and they start raising their family. And one day, one of their neighbors comes up to them and tells them about these meetings that are happening at Johnson Heights Church down the road. And they're awesome. It's like a lot of fun. There's a lot of people there, and it's great community, and it's really exciting stuff. You guys should come. And so my grandma's like, you know, that sounds that sounds really interesting. Maybe I'd like to go. So she goes and she talks to my grandpa. And my grandpa really wasn't interested at all, but kind of just not really thinking and wanting to make her happy. He's like, sure, yeah, I'll go with you. That's fine. And so a couple weeks, a couple months go by. And one day, it's a Sunday afternoon, and they're having a picnic with some of their friends. And my grandma looks at my grandpa and says, Carl, don't forget that you promised me you would come to this meeting with me tonight. And my grandpa didn't really want to go, but was like, yeah, I guess I promised. And I don't want to keep that promise, so yeah, you're right. And so my grandma's like, okay, it's time to go. So they ended up leaving the picnic early. Their friends weren't too thrilled with that, and they ended up losing those friends. Part of the unexpected. They come to the church, they bring some of their kids with them, and they kind of walk down the middle and take a seat in the center, and they get surrounded by people, and my grandpa immediately feels incredibly uncomfortable, and he's like, I don't want to be here at all. But he's like scrunched in between these people, he has nowhere to go, he's like, I guess I'm trapped, so I guess we're staying here for the whole thing. And as it starts, a woman gets up on stage and starts to speak. And coming from a traditional background, my grandpa was thinking, I don't know if I even want to hear what she has to say. But he's sitting there, and so she starts talking, and she's talking. My grandpa the whole time is just like, I want to leave, I want to leave, I want to go. And at the end of the service, the preacher invites people to give their lives to Jesus. And is like, if you're interested in this, please come to the front and come talk with us, and we'll help you give your life to Jesus. And my grandpa had wanted nothing to do with that at all. Nothing at all. So he's like, it's fine. I'll just hang out in my seat here, and I'll just hide until the service is over. But I guess that wasn't happening, because the preacher ended up getting off stage and walked right down the center aisle and walked right up to him and was like, do you want to accept Jesus today? And he's like, shrinks in his seat, so uncomfortable. He's like, not, no. He had this big decision in his life to make, this turning point, this unexpected situation, and he said no. So the preacher comes back up on stage, and they're playing some songs, and a few people come to the front. And she gets back off stage. And she walks right up to him again. Looks him square in the eye for a second. And then just goes, do you want to accept Jesus today? And at this point, what had happened is my grandma had left her seat. And she had decided that she did want to accept Jesus that day. And she had walked up to the front fully expecting that her marriage was over. Fully expecting that because she was accepting this faith that her husband didn't believe in, he would leave her, her family would be broken, but she didn't care. Well, she did care, but she cared more about Jesus than she did about her marriage. And that second time when the preacher came and talked to my grandpa and said, do you want to accept Jesus? He told me, he's not even sure why, but for some reason he said yes. And he stood up, and he walks down to the front, and he joins my grandma there. And that preacher leads them both to Jesus that day. It was just a meeting that they got invited to. My grandpa didn't even want to be there. Completely out of the blue and unexpected, he gets this invitation to join and to give his life to Jesus. And he said yes. He was obedient in his unexpected. And so they raised their family believing in Jesus. They got very involved in the church. My grandpa taught Sunday school for years. And because of that, they raised my dad. And my dad raised me and my brothers knowing Jesus. And I genuinely believe that because of that decision that my grandpa and my grandma made that day, that I'm here as a pastor today. I'm here as a Christian today. Because they made that decision. This incredible decision that they made has not only impacted them, but now generations of people And now my brother's kids are being raised in a Christian home also because of that decision. I'm going to get the band to start making their way back up. A lot of what God does is unexpected to us. He chose Mary and Joseph because of his plan, not theirs. He chose me because of his plan, not mine. He chose my grandparents because of his plan, not theirs. And they chose to say yes. I chose to say yes. My grandparents chose to say yes. And it's terrifying. No doubt, having this unexpected child was the most difficult and frightening decision that Mary and Joseph ever had to choose to go along with. Coming here, coming out of Bible college to be a youth pastor is one of the most frightening decisions I've ever had to make. My grandma chose to come to the front to give her life to Jesus in one of, I'm sure, the most frightening decisions she's ever had to make. It's not easy. It's not necessarily fun. But in the uncertainty of the unexpected lies the beauty of the unexpected. The amazingness of God's plan that we can enjoy if we choose to obey. So when stuff comes our way, when the unexpected comes to us and we have to make a decision, how are we going to respond to this? What are you going to do? Are you going to say no because it's uncomfortable, because you're fine where you're at, because you like the place in your life that you're at? Or are you going to choose to say yes, knowing that in the fear and in the uncertainty and in the unknown lies the beauty of the unexpected that we can never imagine? And it's so much greater than we ever thought it could ever be. This Christmas season, what unexpected circumstance are you going to find yourself in? Who are you going to interact with that you didn't think you would? What opportunity is going to present itself that you didn't think it would? This season is an incredible opportunity for giving, for showing love, for celebrating with people that we don't know. When those situations come your way, how are you going to respond to them? What are you going to do with it? If you're here today and you know Jesus, you have a relationship with him, but you feel like he's been asking you to do something, something unexpected, or something has come up, and you're not sure what to do, can I challenge you to say yes? Can I challenge you to accept that unexpected so that you can experience the beauty of it? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't have that relationship with him, can I challenge you to make the same decision that my grandpa made, that my grandma made? Because I promise you that in that decision to give your life to Jesus, in that decision to follow him, there's this beauty that you will never experience anywhere else. This incredible situation that you will be put in, this incredible love and this joy, this adventure, this journey that you will never experience anywhere else. And in the uncertainty and in the unknown lies this beauty, the beauty of the unexpected that is so much greater than you ever could find anywhere else. So if the unexpected has come your way and you're not sure what to do with it, say yes. I'll pray. Jesus, thank you that you give us the opportunity to be a part of the unexpected, that your plan is so much better than our plan is. And that even though we don't know where you might be taking us, even though we don't know what you might be doing, that you know that your plan is so good and so great. And I pray that you would give us the strength to follow it. It's a hard decision, Lord. It's a hard task of choosing the unexpected. And so I pray that you would give us the strength to say yes in the midst of it. And like Mary and Joseph, choosing to go along with it, and so that we can experience this incredible blessing, the beauty of that unexpected, Jesus. pray that you would reveal to each and every one of us what it is that you are asking us to do, so that you would give us the opportunity to say yes, God. And that when we do, that you would bless us for it. And that you would be with us every step of the way, reminding us that you're in control and not us. And that's why we can experience the beauty. Be with us as we go from here, God, as we live out in the Christmas season. Give us the strength to love people, to bless them, and to show them who you are in the midst of the unexpected, so that more people can come to know your name, your love, and your joy. I pray this in your name. Amen.